to the Scary Dad Podcast. This is episode one. That's right, first edition, first print, mint condition, first ever episode of the Scary Dad Podcast. I am your host, Scary Dad himself. And today we're going to be talking about, you know, scary things, because that's what Scary Dad does. So sit back, relax, have yourself a drink or, you know, something pumpkin flavored. It's getting towards that season. And let's talk about some Scary Dad. All right. Well, first, we're going to hear from our sponsor. The Scary Dad Podcast is brought to you today by ScaryDad.com. ScaryDad.com, for when you want to read about scary things. ScaryDad.com, when you want to look at scary pictures. ScaryDad.com, for when you want to learn about how to build your own scary stuff. Come on down to ScaryDad.com, your source for Halloween, horror, and holiday DIY all year round. That's ScaryDad.com. Alright, that's really good stuff. You need to go over there and check them out. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about today is why a podcast? Well, if you follow the Scary Dad blog, you'll know that I haven't been very active in quite a long time. And there's quite a few reasons for that. And amongst other things, I've been trying to write a book, short stories, I've been getting some stuff declined by some publishing houses, run-of-the-mill sort of creator type stuff. At the same time, you know, I've got a wife, I've got a kid, and another kid, and a dog, and a fish, and, you know, they like to eat, and they like to, you know, sleep and hang out with their dad. So, you know, I only have so much time each night to do any one thing. And unfortunately, the blogging has kind of taken a back seat to some other, I don't necessarily want to say more important, but maybe, well, let's just say it's taken a back seat. That's about as good as I'm going to get. So, however, I do have time in my job, in my vehicle, to talk into the air. I'm a guy who likes to talk a lot and tell stories, and it occurred to me one day, well, hey, while I'm driving around, listening to music, listening to audiobooks and stuff, that I could peel off a podcast episode here pretty regularly, just on my way from one place to another, and that might be able to fit the bill. Because, you know, at the end of the day, I really do enjoy speaking with you guys and talking about all things scary and all of the Halloween and horror DIY that you've come to know and love me for. So this is not a different direction, but it's just an ability. It's just a way I can add content to the site and keep in touch with you guys without, you know, pretty much having to compromise everything else that I've been trying to get done over the last several months. So we're going to try this out, and if I get some downloads and I get some attention, then we'll continue the format. A note on fidelity, you may notice you hear a lot of background noise. There's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is I am actually in my vehicle. I'm going from one place to another as we speak. I've got a lot of windshield time in my everyday job where I'm cleverly disguised as a responsible adult. So there's, you're going to hear road noise, you're going to hear me yelling at other irresponsible, you know, other drivers, irresponsible or not, sometimes they're just in the way. And the second thing is, yeah, I'm not in a recording studio. I am not an audiophile as things go. I don't think a lot of you care. You know, this is a Halloween website, and a lot of times with Halloween, the grittier and the dirtier, the better. So you're going to hear all the uhs and the it, and I'm not going to try to go back and edit that out. Trying to make myself a nice, slick little intro and outro and try to move some music through as we speak. But, you know, a lot of it will depend on the time. So hopefully you like the sound of my voice. Hopefully I'm speaking clearly and interestingly enough that you're hypnotized and entranced. And if I tell you to pick up your weapons and, you know, go out and slaughter a bunch of teenagers at a summer camp, that you're ready and willing to do so. So that's why the podcast, that's what the podcast, and let's get started with the podcast. When I was thinking about things that I wanted to talk about, you know, I made a little, I grabbed a little notebook. It's back to school time, so I got it for like 40 cents at the office supply store, thinking I was pretty cool. And I thought, what am I going to write in here? Oh, hey, podcast ideas. So I started jotting some down, and, you know, your typical run-of-the-mill type stuff, you know, your movies, your music, your this and your that. And it occurred to me, well, what was I going to do for episode number one? What happens at the beginning? And the best thing to do for that, I believe, is to go back to the beginning and let's talk about where this all began. What makes Scary Dad Scary Dad? What makes him desire to speak into the air as he's driving through town in a 100-degree summer to talk about Halloween? So when I thought about it and thought about it, and I thought about it some more, and then I had a couple beers and thought about it even again. Really, the beginning of Scary Dad comes from, dun dun dun, actually Scooby-Doo. You see, when I was a child, my dad went to work and I stayed home with Mom, and in their bedroom there was a little black and white television. And I would go take a nap each day, and whenever I woke up from my nap, there was Scooby-Doo. The original Scooby-Doo from the late 60s, early 70s, with that awesome opening credit sequence with the bats and the vampires and the song. You know what I'm talking about. So, as many of you know, Scooby-Doo has multiple series over multiple decades, but the one that that I watched when I was young and formidable, that's not a word. When I was young and impressionable, there we go, was that original Scooby-Doo. And it was just one of those things. I just sat and I loved watching the different episodes, the textures, the look of the haunted house. You know, it's just got a gritty sort of old and musty and damp and creepy atmosphere to it. And while the episodes themselves were never, you know, obviously it was made for children, so it wasn't that it was scary per se, but it had that ambiance, it had that feel that for me has been kind of the measuring stick by which all other sort of horror things are judged moving forward. You know, you've got a lot of really slick horror movies with a lot of really choice special effects, but the ones that really do it for me, the ones that I love more than anything, are generally going to be those ones with the dark and spooky haunted house, you know, the creepy atmosphere, the creepy place, you know, the bats in the belfry, so to speak. So We started with Scooby-Doo, and that's where I measure pretty much everything else. Moving from Scooby-Doo, you know, my parents used to watch The Twilight Zone when I was little, and although sometimes I would be sent from the room, it was always there. I remember laying in bed at night after I'd go to bed and hear that that theme music and wonder. I would wonder, what's going on? What are they watching? What's on that show? And on some occasions where I got to see some of it, I think I really didn't quite understand it, but I knew it was something special just by the atmosphere, just by the way it sort of carried itself, I guess. So, getting a little bit older, unfortunately, I went through this phase where I experienced night paralysis and night terrors. And scary things were not really something that I was able to seek out or enjoy. And the reason for this was that I would wake up in the middle of the night with walking nightmares that I never did remember, and I still don't remember what triggered it or why it happened, but essentially, I guess I was sensitive to that sort of thing, to where if there was something that was frightening or you know, scary in some way, that I would internalize it subconsciously, and it would cause me to wake up in the middle of the night and wake my parents up, and essentially I guess I was like that screaming worm on The Simpsons in that season. So I was forced to kind of set it aside, and there was a couple of years there, I guess, from when I was about 6 or 7 to when I was about 12 or 13, maybe 11 or 12, I don't know. Anyway, a few years there that were horror free. Okay, and that was an example of me having to stop and do my job, and now I'm back in the vehicle. So what was I talking about? Oh yeah, having a series of night terrors that plagued me from my couple of years whenever I was younger. So what ended up happening, I was not, let's say, I wasn't scared to watch a scary movie or anything like that. What it was that I guess it would just get into my subconscious and tear me up after I'd gone to sleep. So I tended to avoid scary type stuff, especially movies, seem to affect more than anything else. I could read scary books, and I could, or, you know, scary stories, and I could, you know, hang around and talk with friends. But anyway, long story short, there was that there was a point in my life where scary was just too scary. But as all things do, it passed away, and then it was on. So when I was about, I'm going to say 13, 14 years old, something along there, my dad comes to me one day, and he's like, "Son, there's, you know, quite a few great movies that you need to watch, you know, so you can have a proper education in what is essentially dude movies." I mean, he put it some other way, but and he had a bag full that he'd grabbed from the video store, and in that bag was, you know, classics, you know, your The Godfather and Cool Hand Luke and The Dirty Dozen and several other just great classic movies. You know, I'm thinking of that tagline, you know, the movies for guys who like movies. And in that bag, or in the following bag or whatever, you know, because we did this over the course of a couple of months, were two excellent films, and one of them was 1968 Night of the Living Dead, and the other one was Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. And right about this time, the Stephen King miniseries It also was on, and those were basically three films or series or what have you that just really kind of changed the game for me. I remember sitting there with my dad, and he's telling me about Night of the Living Dead and how controversial it was when it came out, and you know, how gory it was, and how essentially everybody got really, really upset because prior to that, horror movies weren't really all that scary, and they were certainly not that gory or that bleak. The Shining, you know, that's on everybody's top 10 list of scariest movies ever, and I'm no different. The first time I saw The Shining, I think I walked around and straight, you know, with my hair, my spine tingling and hair raised for, you know, weeks after seeing that. And then, you know, the Stephen King movie, The It, you know, clowns and, you know, that's even going back to Poltergeist, but the killer clown trope is one that's, you know, I've discussed it on the website, but you know, it's got some teeth, pun intended. Anyway, so there was that. Then when I was about 16, that's when buddies and I started hitting up the haunted houses. We'd break out and go downtown and go to the different haunted houses all over the place, and you know, make bets and make dares and attempt to scare each other inside the haunted house. We actually tried to scare the actors within the haunted houses. Good times with good friends. I think this is around the same time, too, that me and my buddies Jason and Chris started to marathon the horror movie series. So, you know, we'd watch, we'd grab a weekend or a, you know, whatever, and get together and drink beer and watch Friday the 13th, episode one or movie number one, all the way to movie number eight over the course of a couple of days. Friday the 13th was one, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, any one of those slasher films that had multiple entries, Halloween. So that's another just chapter in the life. Halloween was always something that my family did. It wasn't, it wasn't wonderfully celebrated, but, however, you know, when we're talking about formative years, I think that's the word I was looking for earlier, there was one certain episode that I think is of great importance. And what happened was this. One year, I was probably 4, 5 years old, something like that, and my mom and her two sisters dressed up as witches. They went all out that Halloween, and they dressed up as witches, and they put green food coloring in my milk, and we went out, and we went trick-or-treating, and then we went to a haunted house. And this haunted house was sponsored by a church, or it was at a church anyway, but that night there was nothing churchy going on whatsoever. This was 100% pure, unadulterated spook show. And I remember walking through this thing, and a couple of things come to mind. They had like spotters or ushers with flashlights that would like walk you through, and they had stockings over their flashlights, so the light was green or gray. And we go through, and there was a table with a bunch of candy on it, and as soon as you reach for the candy, a big evil giant head popped out and tried to bite, you know, your hands. We went through, and they were like, oh, you know, the doctor is in. And we go in, and there's a disemboweled corpse laying on the gurney, and a doctor with an axe turns around and started rawr, rawr, coming at us. Well, anyway, I checked out right then, and you know, the best part is, and I don't know why this really happened, but I got handed off to one of those green flashlight holding ushers and carried to the front, where I got to wait for the rest of them to finish their little haunted house jaunt. I got a cookie and a piece of candy and I think some juice, but so there was that. Certainly made an impression on me. I'm remembering very, very, you know, details, specific details, you know, 35 years later. So, okay, so there was the friends and the haunted houses and the scary movies. And the natural progression moved to once we moved out, you know, once I moved out of the parents' house and had my own place, and there were house parties and, you know, events and things to do on Halloween. And, you know, started working at bars and, you know, running event promotion and stuff. And so, therefore, you know, you had to be present on Halloween. And Halloween was really a great time to work because you made a lot of money. And everybody's in a good mood on Halloween. You know, house parties are one thing. House parties are a lot of fun, especially, you know, the ones that I throw. But unfortunately, a lot of times, you know, you get a bunch of people together on Halloween, you know, they're wearing their costumes, and then for whatever reason, you know, after they arrive and show off their costume, they start taking them off. Off comes the masks, and people, you know, it's just the same people you always know just kind of hanging around wearing goofy costumes, and it just doesn't have the same energy. But when you're at a bar on Halloween night, the competition for the costumes is just ramped up, and everybody wants to outdo each other. The costumes stay on, you know, the scary ones are more scary, and the sexy ones are sexier, and you know, the music stays loud and the drinks flow. And Halloween night at a bar or at a nightclub is a lot of fun. It's one of the best nights of the year. And I was fortunate when I worked in the industry to see it from different sides, both as a patron and as an employee. So little side note there, being an employee never precluded any fun from occurring. So it wasn't like, oh man, I gotta work. It was kind of like, yay, I get to work, because that means I can drink off the spill tab. All right. So then the next little phase of Scary Dad there was the, you know, when we bought our first house. You know, we got into this house, or got into that house, and you know, kind of in the summertime, leaning in towards Halloween, and I was like, oh man, you know, I want to have one of those haunted, you know, one of those houses that you see on the news that, you know, they drive around and they're like, wow, that place just went overboard. I want that to be my house. So, of course, I started spending money and buying things, and then it occurred to me that I could not afford to do that. That what I was going to have to do is concentrate on a single prop, or, you know, a single major prop and a couple of smaller ones, or whatever the combination may be, and then build it up over the course of several years. And you know, whether it had thematic similarities or just whatever I felt like doing at the time, I couldn't do it all at once. So that first year, I built a nice scarecrow, and that scarecrow, I got the idea of it off of an internet article. Built it out of PVC and some dead branches and old clothes and one of those foam pumpkin heads. And it actually turned out quite a bit taller and spookier than even I had anticipated. I was kind of going for that sort of Jack Pumpkinhead look with the big goofy jack-o'-lantern. But when I was carving the face, I kind of messed up and I couldn't make it look like a smile anymore. It just kind of had across the face set of sharp teeth. And you know, that didn't go over too well. I mean, I loved it, but you know, our neighbors were a little bit religious on one side and a lot religious on the other. And it was kind of, I don't know. They didn't talk to us for a while. I think they thought we were a little bit devilish. And to be fair, I was certainly much more devilish than they were. So I don't know. But I still have the scarecrow. I've scaled him down. His body broke long ago, actually. He didn't break. I just I had to kind of part him out for other projects. So now I've got him he stands on he's more of a traditional scarecrow. He stands on a wood cross, and you know, but he's still there many years later. When we moved into the house that we're in now, it's on the end of a cul-de-sac, and we have a little grove of trees in one side of the yard that, however it grew, it's just perfect. It has this kind of like little trail through the woods, and all the neighbors are similarly minded. Everybody does trick-or-treating, and down at the other end of the street, on the other side of the cul-de-sacs, they have they'll close it off and have little block parties. And, you know, for example, last year they brought in a bouncy castle for the kids, and, you know, so it's quite a bit more appreciated in this neighborhood than it was in the old one. And I'm, you know, between the Scary Dad website and just, you know, my own private love for the whole holiday and everything, I'm aiming to have, you know, a pretty big event, you know, one or two Halloween house parties per year in addition to trick-or-treating with the kids. You know, my kids, I call them Spawn of Scary Dad and Spawn of Scary Dad Part 2, the sequel. They're four and almost two now, and the four-year-old is a chip off the old block. She's looking forward to Halloween. She looks forward to Halloween from November 30th. She talks about, hey, tomorrow when Halloween comes, I can have more of that candy and I can wear a scary outfit. And I fully endorse that entire situation. That is great. But here we are. We're a couple of months away from Halloween 2015. I've got some projects on the bench and on the drawing board that I'll be sharing with you on the blog. Thanks for tuning in today. I think that's going to put episode number one in the books. A couple of housekeeping tips here. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, please let me know. A lot of times I write and I post things and nobody really responds in the comments or whatever, and then I feel like I'm speaking in an echo chamber. And then on the backside, I'll start getting emails from people that'll tell me how inspiring I am and, you know, how much they miss certain aspects of the site. Well, a really good way for me to know what you're liking and what you're not is, clicking like on Facebook, sharing it with your friends. It's also a way for me to get some exposure and to know if I'm even, you know, anything's being seen or heard. It really, really helps me out. You know, I don't spam. I don't overly post. I don't send emails or anything like that with, you know, or anything spammy at all. So help out your friendly neighborhood Scary Dad and click like or share or, you know, retweet or pin stuff. You know, I've got, if you go to the website and you click on the buttons, I've got all the social media active. So take the one that you like the best and roll with it. With that said, I really thank you guys for tuning in, and I'm looking forward to doing episode two. And right now it looks like episode two is going to be all about zombie movies. All right, take care. Where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you?